A very good morning to you. Welcome to episode 12 of Irish Protect. This week on the show, we're looking at the effects that climate change is having on our coastal communities. A new report has been published by the IOM and University of Galway. If you want to get in contact with the programme, you can do so on irishprotect@galwaybayfm.ie. That's our dedicated email address. There's more information on irishprotect.ie. You can do an ecological footprint calculator to determine your carbon footprint, and you can also take a quick survey. All that plus lots more coming up on Irish Protect. If you want to get in contact with the programme, you can do so on our text and WhatsApp line. That's 086 38 33 55 3. And you can also phone reception on 091 77 0077. All this plus lots more coming up on Irish to Protect. Very good morning to you. Welcome into Irish to Protect. Now, a new report was published recently by the International Organization for Migration in collaboration with the Rhine Institute at the University of Galway. And it's found that the increasing frequency and severity of extreme storms, flooding and sea level rise means that some communities in Ireland are becoming increasingly vulnerable to climate change due to much of Ireland's population residing in coastal zones. Now, to discuss this further, I'm joined by the director and lecturer of the Masters in International Development. She works at the UN as well. And she is, of course, also involved with the University of Galway as well, Dr. Una Murray. She is a key contributor and organiser of this report. And you're very welcome on to Irish to Protect, Una.
Thank you.
Talk to us about this report, some stark findings in it.
Okay, so this report is a collaboration between the University of Galway and the International Organization for Migration, IOM as it's called. And it was primarily researched and written by a student in doing a master's in climate change, agriculture and food security, Daria Silchenko. And it's a key piece of research where we look at warming planet and increasing environmental degradation and how that affects where people live or whether people will have to move because of a warming planet and increasing environmental degradation.
Now, I know it is the first of its kind in Europe, this country profile on migration, environment and climate change.
Correct. Yes, there's been a number of these profiles written for many countries around the world. This is the first for Europe. And of course, you know, we know that humans have had a long history of moving in relation to climate or environmental problems, which has caused them to move, you know, from the Ice Age. Over the past 2 million years, people have moved because of deforestation, soil erosion, water management problems, droughts, all that. So, but this issue has come into a sharper focus now globally, mainly because climate change is now reshaping where people live around the world, and much depends on geography, where you're located.
And what are the key findings of this report?
The report goes from the global down to the kind of national to an Irish focus and tries to summarise mounting evidence that, you know, climate change is having impacts on different populations in Ireland. And kind of the key message really is that those who are most vulnerable who can least respond to the impacts of climate change are more at risk and, you know, less likely to be able to respond to the risk or the hazards that they face. It also looks at, it also provides some recommendations in line with our national adaptation framework and our national climate policy on how to include human mobility responses in our planning for climate and environmental changes. Looking globally, some of the figures that we located on this is that around, I think it was about 2022, there was 38 million internal displacements or movements of people. And, you know, obviously conflict and violence triggered quite a lot of those displacements, about 14 million of that 38. But about 24 million were recorded in 2021, and that was as a result of disasters. And I think about, you know, nearly all of those, 94, 95% of that 24 million were related to kind of weather-related hazards. So some examples would be in in Pakistan, about 8 million people had to be moved, and some of them weren't able to go back afterwards. And of course, we often hear about floods in Bangladesh. And some of the small island states from in the Pacific are really facing sea level rise, and some of the populations have had to move to other locations because of sea level rise. So really, the problem is becoming more, it's a sharper focus now, and it's, you know, becoming more on the agenda internationally and politically, and also in Ireland.
And I understand there isn't actually, I suppose, a defined term as a climate refugee.
No. Legally, the term climate refugee doesn't exist. A refugee is someone who has had to flee because of political reasons or conflict, and it stems from the 1951 Convention on Refugees. A migrant is someone who voluntarily moves, chooses to leave where they live. And then we talk about internally displaced people, who are someone who's living inside the borders of their own country, and they're unable to go back to where they came from because of whatever reason, be it conflict or environmental factors. So we talk, those terms are quite distinct, but, you know, who knows, in the future it may become a term, although I doubt it, because there's not a political appetite internationally to include environment in the term refugee.
Identifying the problems is one thing. We need solutions as well. And I know the report has a number of recommendations.
It does, yeah. We distinguish in the report between sudden onset disasters or slow onset changes. So if you think of disasters, we think of storms, floods, landslides, you know, extreme temperature events. And these type of sudden onset events are easier to see, and, you know, they have immediate effect, and they can be solved with relief, you know, aid or relief or whatever. But the slow onset changes are more challenging, and they are ones due to sea level rise, coastal erosion, rising temperatures, and then, you know, and these affect livelihoods, they affect farmers, they affect fisher folk, or people whose livelihood depends on fishing.
And what recommendations are there to government on this issue?
Recommendations to government is that, well, first of all, we can distinguish between mitigation and adaptation. So obviously for mitigation, each CO2 molecule adds to the atmosphere and contributes to global warming. And, you know, we have our mitigation targets, which we need to reach. And, you know, it's urgent that we plan to reach those targets. But on the other hand, there's adaptation, and we need to plan to adapt to climate change by strengthening resilience of communities, by building infrastructure, and by helping different populations adapt to what is likely to come in the next 50 or so years. Some of these recommendations are in our national adaptation framework, and, you know, there's local adaptation planning, there's national adaptation, but really, you know, our politicians really have to emphasize that they want to care more about the type of world that we want to leave for our children by the end of the century. So, you know, it's up to our politicians to make the large and the big decisions.
All right. Well, it's all very interesting, and hopefully the politicians do listen. Dr. Una Murray of the University of Galway, the director and lecturer of the Masters International Development, also working with the UN as well, and a key contributor and organizer of this report by the IOM and the Ryan Institute at the university. Thank you for joining us on Ours to Protect.
Thank you.
And I'm afraid that's all we have time for on this week's episode of Ours to Protect. Join us next Thursday at 11:30 for more environmental programming.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Galway Bay FM, the IBI, and funded by Comisiún na mBan with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.